Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich in Christ. As it is the same every week, I plan nothing for this 30 minutes. I trust in the spontaneous Christ in me that he is going to say what he wants to say at the time that he wants to say it. And so I was getting up this morning and I was just laying in bed and just sitting there thinking about, you know, the show and the day. And God brought this scripture to me out of 1 John 4:17. And everybody quotes it in the grace world. It's as he is, so are we in this world. But there's another part to that scripture, and I want to read it. And then I want to share some things about who Christ is. Says here, herein is our love made perfect. This is 1 John 4:17. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, everybody likes to talk about the conquering Jesus and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the one who is our life, Paul says, when Christ who is your life or our life will appear, we will appear also with him in glory. And a lot of the grace teachers stop at the resurrection of Christ. They don't go any further. And what I mean by that is they settle down to glory in the resurrection of Jesus. And you know, when Jesus was resurrected, he didn't have a party because he was resurrected. He didn't sit down and say, okay, this is the end of it. Now that I'm resurrected, all that's happened is, you know, now you can go on your way. No, what happened is his disciples who were cowering in fear because they were trying to save their own skin because they thought they were next after him, he went to them and he reassured them that he was who he had been saying he was for the 3 years that he was with them. And who is Jesus? You know, as he is, so are we in this world. Take that scripture and put it in the right context. His love is perfected, is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, what is the day of judgment? Is that the day down the road someday when we're going to stand before God, and that's, you know, the judgment day everybody talks about, that all of Christendom is concerned about after the so-called rapture and the second coming and the other list of coming events happens? Or is the day of judgment Christ in us today? Is that the day of judgment? And what is there to judge? What is there about your Christian life that you would stand in the same kind of place of judgment as Jesus Christ? Because let me read you something about Jesus that not too many people talk about today, okay? It's in Isaiah 53. And this is why we can have faith. We can know that our God loves us without any condition. This is why we know that our God will never leave or forsake us, never abandon us, no matter what. You know, David. One of my favorite passages with David, and I love David because David is schizophrenic in his relationship with God. You know, there's just no other way to put it. One day he's loving God, one second he's praising him, the next second he's asking God to make him, to heal him so he can kill his enemies. I mean, David is up and down in a roller coaster relationship with God as anybody. And David comes to a point at one time in his life where he says, even my best friends have raised their heel against me. David found himself alone so many times in his life. And at one point in time, the Philistines set him and his band of men up, and they set them up to go out on this raid. And when they went out on this raid, they came back and their families were gone. And all of David's friends and all of David's cohorts turned against him. And one of the most famous things that I can remember, you know, that I've read about David was quoted right there. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord because David had a real relationship with a real God when it came down to his real everyday life. David was able to encourage himself in the Lord. He didn't run out to try to find the next gimmick or Christian gimmick or fad or run to the next conference or go to the next speaker or try to find the next new book or the purpose-driven that, this, that, or other thing. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had a deep and abiding real relationship with God. And listen to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain, and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. There's a Jesus you don't hear much about, the Jesus who is despised and rejected and spit on and beaten. And the one where it says, we considered him stricken and smitten, afflicted and punished by God. Because that's exactly what self-preserving man does when it comes down to suffering. That's why the disciples were hiding after Jesus' death. They weren't out there proclaiming the power of God. They were hiding because they thought they were next. And that's exactly where most of the church is today. Hiding behind a grace message that says, Jesus is all about me. I am going to sit down now in glory in the resurrection. God has done all of this for me, and now it's all about me glorying in this life, this Christ in me life. Well, that's not at all what the Christian life is. The Christian life is all about being planted in death. It's all about coming to a place where you finally realize that your life is not about you and that it never was about you. And there's not any purpose-driven anything because you're not driven, you're led. You're led by the shepherd who loves you. He doesn't beat you, he loves you. And so let me read you one other thing here, and then I'm gonna read an article that I read yesterday, or that I wrote yesterday. And this is John 15:18-20. Let's talk about the real Jesus today, okay? If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. This is Jesus talking. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. But what is your teaching? Is your teaching the same as his? Is your teaching all about losing your life? Is that what your teaching is? Is your teaching, I count all things as loss in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ as Lord and life? Is your teaching about the fellowship called the fellowship of his sufferings so that you can partake in the resurrection? Because you're not going to experience resurrection life in the sense that God meant it to be until you are dead. Because God only resurrects that which is dead. And that's a hard word. It's not a soft-pedaled, easy grace message. It's the truth. And it's the truth that's going to set you free. It's not a picture. It's not a form of the truth. It's not truth plus. And it's not a perception of truth. It's the person of truth. It's the person who is the way. It's the person who is the life. And that person is now living in you and as you. And all he asks you to do is yield to the life that is your life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. How much persecution do you see in the Christian church today? Do you see that Christian church doesn't look a whole lot different than the world? Do you see that the Christian church is conforming to the world's ways of selling God in the same way that the world is selling their products? There's nothing to persecute when you continue to preach a gospel that is not the gospel of grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. The gospel that is what Paul called foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us the power of God. That is the message of the cross. The message of the cross is that I died in him. And when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose up in newness of life, I rose up in him. And now, as he is, so am I in this world. And he has not changed. He is still coming with the same message, the same unadulterated, pure as gold message that Christ is life. And there's only one thing that God is asking from the body of Christ, only one, and that's everything. That's it. And so you're not going to be persecuted when you're not preaching a message that has no persecution attached to it. When you're out there tickling the ears of those who want to hear all about Jesus, who loves them, and he does love them, but his love is sacrificial. His love is laying down his life for his friends. His love is counting himself as nothing, taking not a thought for his own life. That's what his love is. As much as it is the full provision of who he is and the joy that's set before him and the praise and the glory and the worship of God and knowing that we will never have to worry about anything ever again because our God loves us as a wonderful, loving father, not as a cruel taskmaster. I was going to read my article from yesterday. But instead, I think I'm just going to read this quote. You can go to my Rich Novak Facebook page, Novek, and you can read the article. It's about the cost that is it is It's called, actually, no, hang on. At All Costs. That's the name of the article. But I'm not going to read that. I'm going to read this instead. Okay? Hallelujah, no shrinking back. No soft peddling the message of true grace. The freedom for which he made me free came at a cost so high only he could pay it. I appreciate you, Rich, for no pretending, no man-pleasing with an easy message of grace. His grace is no easy grace. It is unconditional, and it entails going further than making me comfortable in my own life. He is a jealous God, jealous for my whole heart. He won't share it with anyone or anything. I, like Paul, consider everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. That's from our ministry partner, Joan Riley, who in March, in a moment of despair, tried to end her life. And coming out on the other side of that, now sees a God she never saw before. Because she considered everything as loss. Maybe not in the way that, you know, our cultural Christian message would have that to happen, but exactly the way God had it to happen. And my friend Jeannie right now, who's struggling, and the other people that are sharing with me their struggles, Julie from Canada, these people who have come to the end of all things, have tried to live the Christian life in their own strength, have tried to find hope and love in other things, person, places, and things, and have come to the conclusion that the only place real love exists is in Jesus Christ, and the only place he lives is right inside of them. That's the real message. That's the real gospel of grace. That's the real life that we live every day. And I really don't care if people stop listening to me or stop liking me or stop commenting or stop sharing what I'm putting out there, because this isn't about a popularity contest. This is about leaving a legacy of the real gospel of true grace for somebody at some point in time who's going to need to hear it. And maybe that person is you. Maybe not right now. I signed my book the other day to my stepdaughter. And the way I signed it is, I hope at some point in time in your life that this book will bless you. And that point in time will be when they come to the end of all things and see Christ alone as their only life. Because that's exactly where God is bringing the body of Christ, if they're willing to go. It's going down the rabbit hole of Christ as life, not Christ for me, Christ in me and Christ as me. There's a difference. And so that's what the message of the gospel is. The message of the gospel is good news to those who understand the entire message, the full gospel message. Yes, Jesus died. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he rose again. And yes, there at some point in time, we're going to lay down this earth suit and we're going to be, in another place. But that is not God only God now. God only God only now is what our Christian life is about. And what is God now saying to you as you listen to this? What is God now doing in you? Is the Spirit of God being stirred inside of you? Are you angry? Are you indifferent? Do you want to run? Because that's the Spirit of God breaking up the fallow ground. Isaiah said, break up the fallow ground, the hard heart. Plow it up so the seed can be planted. Except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides to itself. It lives to itself. Is that the kind of Christian life you want to live? You want to live only for you? You want to have that wonderful resurrection life only about you and how it makes you feel, and that you get the tingly goosebumps up and down your spine every time you think about it? Or are you here now for a greater purpose than you could ever imagine? Are you here to find the secret to contentment, which is Christ alone in all things? Are you here for God to remove what's at the center of your life so he can be the only thing that your life revolves around? Because that's the only reason I'm here. And that's the only message you're ever going to hear as long as you tune into this radio program, or you tune into richinchristnow.com, or you go to my Facebook page, or you go to Rich in Christ Ministries Facebook page, or you hear us in person. This is the message. This is the only message. It's called the message of the cross, and it is foolishness to those who are perishing. And Paul was not speaking to the world. He was speaking to the church. And there are millions, multiplied millions in the church who are perishing on the vine, dying on the vine, because they refuse to embrace the cross in all of its fullness. They refuse. They say, I've tasted of the Lord, and the Lord that I've tasted of is the one that I want to keep tasting. And it's not the Lord Jesus that I just read about today, the one in Isaiah 53, or the one from John 15, verses 18 through 20, and all the other places in the Bible. You know, David and Jacob and Abraham and Moses and Paul and all of the patriarchs and all of the great men and women of God down through history did not have a life of easy grace, and they didn't expect it. They didn't expect a life of easy grace. If you want a life of easy grace, it's out there for you. Go for it. I want nothing to do with it. I want everything God has for me. Just like I asked him in 1983, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And the friend of mine that prescribed the prayer to me, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. And I've been praying that prayer for the last 30 years, and God has been answering that prayer, and I've lost my life to gain him. And now I've found out that I've not lost anything. You can't lose anything in Christ. All you can do is gain. It's the great big setup of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this time, Lord. That even if it's just me and you, Lord, I know there aren't many people listening to this. But that's okay, because you told me to build a library for those who will want to at some point in time, and that's what I'm doing. But God, I'm praying for those who do, Lord. I'm asking, God, that you'd pierce their hearts, just like you were pierced and wounded, God, that you would crush them in the same way you were crushed. That it please the Father to bruise the Son, and that they would see that it pleases the Father to bruise the sons and the daughters in the same way. Because if that grain of wheat doesn't fall apart in that dark place underground, then the new life is never able to spring forth. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He was created to produce the new life. He was created that God would produce the new life in and through him. That's your creation purpose. And so, God, I'm praying today, Lord, that if anybody hears this message today, God, that you administer your life to them and you would meet them right where they're at, Father, in their brokenness, in their loss, and their inability to live the Christian life, and their inability to do anything, God. Because you've chosen the lowly and the base and the weak and the have-nots and the are-nots to confound the wisdom of those who think they have it all. And I thank you and praise you, God. And I ask, Lord, that you just bless your body, God, and that there would be a sweeping tsunami wave of revelation of the life of God would sweep over this land and people's lives would be changed, God. Hallelujah. Well, guys, this is Real Life with Rich in Christ. And this is about real stuff that real people deal with in relation to a real relationship with their real God. This is talking about what it is to come to that place where, like Paul, I've learned the secret to contentment. Like Paul, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what this is all about. And the glory in our weakness, to know that the greatest asset that God ever gave humanity was the weakness that we deal with every day. Because that's where his power is being perfected. I'm giving away my book, Rich in Christ, to anybody who contacts me with a private message and gives me a valid address. Worldwide, we sent out 34 books around the world yesterday. We're giving it away free of charge, postage paid, because freely we've received, and so freely we're going to give. So if you want a book, it's a 31-day Deeper Life devotional. It's my story, it's your story, it's his story, all rolled into one. It's God's love letter to you to let you know that you're the one that's rich in Christ. This is not about me. It's about you, even if you don't know it. So anyway, guys, that's the program, Real Life with Rich in Christ. Hope to see you here again next week. Till then, God bless.